And now, a different kind of symbiosis, and one very close to home. Humans could not have survived on this planet without some very generous assistance, and I'm not talking about friendly mastodons or trusty saber-toothed tigers and tamed wolves keeping the predators at bay during the Ice Age. Nope. It was some very humble organisms that kept us going through the rough times and are still at it. And we repay them every day by poisoning them, slaughtering our pals, scrubbing them out of our lives with an array of antibacterial sprays, soaps, and sanitizers. But the friendly, loyal germs and bacteria have one advantage. Numbers. 100 trillion bacterial cells that live with us all the time on our skin, in our mouth, and in our intestines. The power of good bacteria is a topic that Kara Miller has been exploring for her latest edition of Innovation Hub, produced by our partner WGBH in Boston. Kara, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
So there's a lot of new evidence of the importance of this relationship as we live in this, hand sanitizer world.
Right, exactly. It is hard to believe, living in a modern world where something like Purell was only invented in the late 80s, and it is everywhere now. I mean, there are dispensers in hotels and in hospitals, people carrying little bottles around with them in their purses, that kind of thing, that the idea that gut bacteria could be good for you. But I have to say, one of the things, as you said, they've got on us is numbers. We're actually 90% them, bacteria, and only 10%, so to speak, us. So the idea of living in a germ-free world is pretty much never going to happen. And we've seen in the last year or so a tremendous amount of new research showing how helpful your gut bacteria can be. I actually talked with Moises Velasquez-Manoff, author of An Epidemic of Absence, and he said he worries that life in America may be getting too clean for our own good.
Some parents worry about their kids getting too many colds, and it's very bothersome, but they're also getting exposed to something that's still very mysterious, but that seems to pretty reliably protect against at least allergic disease and possibly things like type 1 diabetes. No one knows what it is yet, but it's there. And actually, I worry in these modern daycares where the caretakers put on gloves when they change the diapers, I wonder if it's too clean.
We understand that babies, when they're born, get their immune systems triggered on by getting a ton of bacteria there in the birth canal. And so that sort of begins the whole immune system process. What are the precise advantages that some of these bacteria give us that Moises Velasquez-Manoff is worried that we might be making ourselves vulnerable to by eliminating some of these helpful bacteria?
So there's a bunch of signs recently that there's a big difference between people with a really diverse gut microbiome and people without. Mm. One thing is people who actually get C-sections, you mentioned the birth canal, people who get C-sections tend to have allergies more. And a study out of UCLA this year showed that women who ate yogurt with bacteria, which we often call probiotics,
right,
and women who did not eat that bacteria, had a difference in how they dealt with stress. So the people who had the bacteria dealt better with stress, which indicates that there may not just be sort of a brain-gut connection, but there may be a gut-brain connection, that things go backwards, so to speak, so that your stomach actually affects your brain. We also saw a very interesting study out of Arizona State looking at kids with autism, and it turns out they have a less diverse ecosystem inside them, in their gut. This work is really, I think, on the cusp of something really big in terms of how we and the things that live inside us interact.
You live a pretty stressful life up there at WGBH. Which are you, a probiotic yogurt or what?
I don't know. It's interesting, though, because when you ask people, I asked the journalist Michael Pollan, who had his gut biome sequenced, how have you changed since you had your gut biome sequenced, since you sort of looked at the bacteria inside you? And he said one of the things that we don't realize is that one of gut bacteria's favorite foods is fiber.
One doctor said to me, he said, we're only feeding the upper GI, the upper gastrointestinal tract with this food, and we're not feeding the large intestine. So in other words, most of this really highly refined processed food is absorbed before it gets to the gut, and it doesn't leave fiber, which is really the favorite food of the microbes, much for them to eat, with the result that that community is impoverished in some ways and more prone to inflammation.
So that really explains why fiber is important. It's not really a mechanical issue. It's more a question of feeding these animals that are really helping us.
Right, exactly. And there's also these foods, not that many of them, that are in the American diet, yogurt, kimchi, sauerkraut, that actually have live cultures living in them. And we tend not to eat very much of them, but those may be also important. The other thing, the other side of this, of course, is antibiotics, which wipe out gut bacteria and, of course, sometimes are very important, but very often are used in a kind of indiscriminate way. One of the most interesting studies, I think, that really is very telling here is one that looked at the difference between Finland and a part of Russia that's right next to Finland, has ethnic Finns in it, so the people are essentially the same. And the people in Russia, on the Russian side of the Finnish border, tend to have less celiac disease, fewer allergies. Here's Moises Velasquez-Manoff talking about the difference between those two groups of people.
Type 1 diabetes, which is basically Finland is the number one country in the world for type 1 diabetes, which is an autoimmune diabetes that usually hits in childhood. It's like one-fifth as common on the Russian side. Celiac disease, similarly, not as common. Allergic diseases, meanwhile, are like one-third as prevalent.
So what's the difference there? I mean, is it diet? Is it antibiotics? What's going on?
People live closer together. There's more bacteria. The water is not as clean. I mean, Finland is a very wealthy country, and they do a lot, which is good in some ways, to keep the country clean. But it turns out there may be some downsides to living, you know, as we were talking about, in this kind of Purell society.
And, you know, it's a big surprise, right, that Michael Pollan is pro-filth in this debate here. He's all for the bacteria. I love that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it turns out that people who grew up on farms have fewer allergies than people who didn't. It seems like when you're young, being exposed to a lot of bacteria may have some real advantages.
All right, so just let those scabby knees just go unbandaged. It's good for the immune system.
Go out and play in the dirt today.
Kara Miller, host of WGBH's Innovation Hub. Stay filthy, won't you?
Thanks.